Welcome to Career Tipper Podcast. I'm Michelle Beatty, your host and a professional development strategist. Thank you for joining the Skills Recharge conversation. Let's get reacquainted. I'm a former director of career services and for-profit higher education that work with students pursuing degrees and careers in different industries. After being laid off from the role due to workforce reduction, I've continued to help others evolve to their professional best through my platforms, Career Tipper and Skills Recharge. I have not only helped others connect and accomplish their career goals, I have helped professionals build their confidence and grow to achieve their goals while dismissing the imposter syndrome tenaciously. I'm humbled and proud to share that I am equally a student of my work, practicing professional development strategies as much as I teach others career development strategies. My professional development journey since launching Career Tipper has led me to change industries to become a PMP certified program manager in tech. The guiding light of this purpose work is to test my well-researched findings beyond theory. This work has also taught me that success leaves clues and that I can collect and apply them to my personal and professional life and confidently add my saucy skill sauce as needed in all forms of communication when sharing my expertise. During this episode, I'm encouraging listeners to add your sauce. I want you to add sauce to your resume, professional development, communication, and conversations while networking with recruiters, allies, and mentors during your talks. Most importantly, I want you to add sauce when you have conversations about what makes you a worthy hire with decision makers, your fellow tribe of go-getters, and yourself. I wholeheartedly believe and know by heart that professional development is a journey full of ebbs and flows that can often, more times than many of us care to admit, lead to developing a blurred vision of what matters most beyond the ongoing evolution of our skills. Our skills go through levels of development and aha moments that can sometimes require the rework of lessons we have not mastered and repeat possibly more than once for reasons that range from communication development, exposure to differing opinions, and knowledge building to increase efficiency and credibility. Your ability to train and be trainable that can continue to position you to add valuable commentary to the tables that you sit at, and the list can go on and on. I enjoy watching competitive cooking shows. During conversations with clients, colleagues, and peers, I sometimes discover them shrinking back and identifying and confidently owning the skills that make them the subject matter experts of their industry or niche. In those moments, I remind them to add their sauce. Confidently speaking, posting, and promoting their hard, soft, technical, and transferable skills is essential. Chefs often boast about their sauce and how its savory flavor impacts the dish and overall visual appeal. Your skills and expertise are the sauce that companies, big and small, need. We have to package up our skills nicely, continually, and intentionally, just like the satisfying taste of a flavorful savory sauce awakens taste buds. Your skills, once strategically placed on display through all forms of professional communication, like a sauce on a plate, can prove to be the strong contributor that is the right hire to meet the needs of a program or project. I love a good acronym. And of course, I'm sharing one for how to add the sauce to help keep your skills recharged, competitive, and hire ready. Here we go. S is for strategizing your money line alignment. Understanding where your skill set aligns with the money line will help you strategize which skills you need to sauce up and develop or heighten how you showcase them. During episode 1 of Money and Skills with Dallin and Michelle on my podcast, Career Tipper, former accountant and investment banker Dallin Vanderpool and I chatted about mapping your skills and determining how your skills align with the money line. Check out this clip of Dallin outlining the money line in a company.
So this is where it comes in. You know, I wrote a blog post that I got a decent amount of attention a couple, like a year and a half ago. It ended up in my book, No Boss, Only Clients. And it's talking about this concept called the money line, right? And this is what this is how I see companies. I have gotten over, and this is the background of this, by the way, comes from me being an auditor first, working with like Ernst & Young, BDO, you know, being the auditor for major companies, then moving over into the banking world. So you get to see the inside of a lot of operations, right? You get to see the inside of a lot of companies, sit with these executives. And what I've found is at the heart of it, even in the nonprofit space, because I had nonprofit clients, at the heart of it, companies are just there to make money. You can try to sugarcoat it, talk. I don't care if you're a nonprofit. You can sit there talking about you have all these benevolent goals and your corporate philanthropy and da 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 da. You can have all that stuff that you do on the side. But at the end of the day, companies are not there to help you fulfill your hopes and dreams. They're not there to help you build your career. There's no business owner that says, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to risk my financial future and stay up all night building a business so that Michelle can have an amazing. No. Like, I'm sorry to break the romantic. They're not saying that. Companies exist to make money. Now, if you, in the process of doing, if you can help them make money, and in the process of that, you get your goals accomplished and that kind of stuff, great. They'll rock with you. But I guarantee you, as soon as you stop making that company money, your importance drops, right? So in every company, there's almost a river, which I call the money line. There's a river of things going through the company. And the closer you are to that assembly line, that river of things that really makes the money flow in the company, the higher you're going to get paid. So it's not that everybody in the company isn't important and they have a role to play. I'm just saying your proximity to this line is going to affect your compensation, right? And when I say compensation, I'm talking about more than just your salary. I'm talking about vacation. I'm talking about stock options. I'm talking about your ability to make your own decisions, your autonomy. I'm talking about your whole compensation package, right? So that's what I'm talking about when you talk about the money line. So what I encourage people to do, especially here in 2022, is wherever you're working, right? Wherever you're working right now, even if you're an entrepreneur, think about the things, right? And I'll do the two-sided thing. If you're in a company, you need to start thinking about the things that really contribute to the money line in this company. What is it that really makes this company tick? This is why a receptionist, as important as he or she is, as important as they are, to be in the front-facing part of the business, they're not going to get paid the same amount as the top salesperson who's connecting with clients. Crucial job, right? I mean, the receptionists at my office, I mean, they're amazing. They're bilingual. You can't get it down here in Latin America. You can't get a job as a receptionist in any decent place unless you speak at minimum two languages fluently. So these are amazing, smart people, but they're not going to get paid as much as the top salesperson who is bringing in, $1 million, $2 million on a client, each month. It's just not going to happen because this person happens to be closer to the money line, right? So that's kind of the way I look at it. So I'm encouraging everyone out there to go out and think about the skills that you want to get, that you need to get yourself closer to that money line. On the entrepreneur side, it's the same kind of way. If you're saying you're an entrepreneur, and I mean a real entrepreneur, not the Instagram entrepreneur. It's another joke from yesterday. Not if you're out there calling yourself a CEO, the chief executive officer, but there are no other executive officers in your organization, chances are you're probably not an entrepreneur. You might be a freelancer, a big freelancer, fine, but you're not really an entrepreneur. But for the entrepreneurs out there, it's the same thing. Think about the business that you're building and what is the actual money line that's running through it. You want to make sure that you and your top people are spending more time on those tasks and you're delegating things that don't really contribute that much to the money line, right? You want to make sure you can put more of your time, more of the high value people's time into pushing the things that are on that money line versus spending time on the skills that are, kind of peripheral out there. So that's my take on what people need to do with skills and money.
After researching and fine-tuning your understanding of the money line for your employer or business, it's time to assess your skills. Assessing your skills is A in sauce for adding your sauce. This component requires you to be diligent with your research and be patient with yourself during your assessment. It can spark many emotions, stay the course, and keep your stride with this task. If permissible, start with identifying opportunities that align and will place you on the path of experiencing your lifestyle of choice daily. Next, list roles that financially support your chosen lifestyle and wealth building plans. Multiple income streams have become non-negotiable for many. Figuring out what will work best for you is likely a process that takes time and effort. The process will reveal if you have the stamina and determination to accomplish your goals or rewrite them to settle because you want to avoid doing the personal work, be it a mindset adjustment or taking action to acquire certifications or learn new skill sets. American executive and Lean In author Sheryl Sandberg said, an internal report at Hewlett-Packard revealed that women only apply for open jobs if they meet 100% of the criteria listed. Men apply if they meet 60% of the requirements. This difference has a huge ripple effect. Women need to shift from thinking, I'm not ready to do that, to thinking, I want to do that and I'll learn by doing it. For assessing your skills, let's set a minimum requirement of having 60% of the needed skills for each income stream you have listed for yourself. Next, identify the transferable skills you may have overlooked. During the season finale of season 3 of Skills Recharge, Leading with Scrum on my podcast, Career Tipper, Agile coach Stella Iheanacho talks about identifying transferable skills. Check out the clip. What are some transferable skills that are related to Scrum for the listeners to think about?
I mean, talking about just being, having empathy. Being a great listener, being an active listener, you know, being collaborative, being able to negotiate, you know, being patient, being a self-starter, you know, having intrinsic motivation. You know, the reason why a lot of people struggle with understanding what their soft skills are and how it's transferable is because when we do these things so naturally, we don't put value in them, right? A project can have $1 billion, you know, budget to it. But if we don't have self-starters, if we don't have someone who can drive the ship, if we don't have someone who can motivate the team to be empowered, if we don't have someone who can work with the team to ensure that they're not distracted, that project will go down the drain. And all of that is, first of all, soft skills, before we even talk about the technical portion of it, right? And so I think soft skills definitely is literally the foundation on which technical skills can truly, truly thrive. Because if we didn't need soft skills, we could as well just put teams together and say, hey, go on forth and execute. You could have the technical expertise. You don't need any coaching. You don't need any mentoring. And so I would say for people who are trying to figure out what their soft skills are, first of all, identify what the soft skills are for that role, be it in obviously project management or Scrum. What are the soft skills? What do we need? What are they looking for? What do you need to be successful on the job as a project manager with from the soft skills perspective? And then look at what you've done. Even if you've worked, you know, for example, in the grocery store, or you've been an admin assistant, right? Or you've worked on the shop floor. I mean, you explain the product to customers who have no idea. You are patient with them. You know, you come on time. You're a self-starter. You're motivated. You have either like sales budget you have to meet, you know, and all of that. So all of that can be transferable. It's just how do we word it? How do we explain our value to the recruiter or the person interviewing us? And how do we own those soft skills? So I think, first of all, figure out what the soft skills are for that role, and then look inward and think about what you've done in the past and how they all match.
An alternate approach to assessing your skills is taking an aptitude test to evaluate your professional skills. Here's a starter list for you to research. Number one, Gallup-Clifton StrengthFinders assessment can help you understand your strengths to unlock your potential and lead you to more outstanding performance. Number two, Red Bull Wing Finder is a personality assessment that focuses on your strengths and the things that you're naturally inclined to be good at and gives you the tools and coaching to be even better. Number three, the Richard Stepp Strengths and Weaknesses Aptitude Test is a tool to help you get a better look at who you are and how much you could grow. Number four, the Kirstie Temperament Sorter Assessment helps you understand how your temperament influences career satisfaction, job search strategies, and professional performance. Number five, Career One Stop offers Skills Matcher Assessment that rates your levels on 40 workplace skills. Lastly, for assessing your skills, if permissible, seek feedback from your mentors, champions, current and previous management, and peers that can be sources of feedback about your skills through 360-degree feedback. An alternate feedback option is start, stop, and continue. The template divides activities and decisions into three categories: things to start doing, actions to stop doing, something to continue forming part of your processes. After mapping and assessing your skills, it's time to revisit understanding your niche. You and Sauce is for understanding your niche to add to your sauce. The quote by serial entrepreneur Pat Flynn, "The riches are in the niches, but the fortune is in the follow-up," reigns in adding your sauce and communicating and demonstrating what makes your skill sought after in your niche. A professional's niche focuses on a specific area within their chosen industry. To understand your niche, you must understand yourself. Specializing can help you build credibility, position you to advance your career, and be a vital contributor to your industry. Your niche is prime real estate for you to go heavy on adding your sauce. Your saucy skills equates to the chef's kiss of adding value to your offering because of your skills, expertise, and understanding of your industry from your ongoing networking, research, and sweat equity to earn your tenure that led you to zoning in on your niche. You've discovered, tested, and learned what interests you, what you do well, what you can successfully train others to do, and what can help drive profits for business. Understanding your niche includes being diligent with staying relevant to the trends and the future industry projections for the next 3 to 5 years. What problems can your skills be the solution for now and in the future? For many of us, our niche skills are not exclusive to one industry and sometimes can transfer to shine bright in underserved industries. Check out the clip from episode 4 of Money and Skills with Dallin and Michelle on my podcast, Career Tipper.
If you're trying to determine if you're a SME, I want you to write down 3 topics. Let's not make this an extensive list, right? Write down 3 things that you find yourself talking about the most that you are extremely knowledgeable about and that excites you, right? Professionally or personally, but since this is professional who focus on monies and skills, let's talk about from a professional standpoint, what is something that just totally excites you, like down in the microphones and all that kind of stuff? For me, it's almost anything project management. Like particularly for me, it's processes. I'm really into processes, how things connect, how do they work, what's the missing link, all that kind of stuff. And then I want you to really calculate your years, right? Your years of how long you've done this, how long it was interested you. And then I want you to break it down into categories. If there's categories to it, break it down and then really figure out, like Dallin was saying earlier, your niche. Like, what is your niche? Like, there's no need to be broad when you're just me. You can be as detailed as possible. So what is that? So you're going to figure out what excites you, 3 things. Then you're going to break that down even further into the categories of what is related to that. Like, what's all the things that are connected to that. And then I want you to challenge yourself and, like, someone that knows nothing about what you do, can you eloquently explain it to them? And then they can explain it back to you in a teacher student format.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I've interacted with some SMEs before, and I think part of the setup to being a good SME has less to do with the actual information or the technical side of it, but your personality. For example, there's one person I know who I've worked with where 2 people I can think of, they just have a kind of very teaching personality. They can correct you. They know how to do it where you don't feel belittled. Right, you actually want to go to them like, can you just correct me? I prefer for you to correct me than for me to really mess this up and get embarrassed somewhere else. Can you just ruin me right now? Just help, just get me straight. Like, help me figure it out real quick. And I've worked with 2 of those people, and they actually send very long emails, both of them. But you appreciate it because when they send the email, it's almost like a user manual. It's a guide. Like, I will reference, I will flag star whatever that email and go back to it, print it out, highlight, like, hey, thank you so much for sending this ridiculously long email. That way I don't have to come back and harass you. I can walk through the process. So I think, yeah, that kind of stuff I think is crucial for the SMEs and I love saying that word, SME. The SMEs and the aspiring SMEs out there.
C is for communicating your value to add your sauce, like a chef speaking to the flavor notes of a sauce and how it elevates the dish and the consumer's palate and health. Professionals need the same by articulating and communicating the benefits and the uniqueness of their skills. During episode 4 of season 1 of Create to Connect on my podcast, Career Tipper, career coach Kathy Francois shared tips on promoting your skills, which are your unique value proposition. Check out the clip.
When it comes to who you are as a professional, it's important for you to establish your lane of expertise, or if you're early in your career, establish a story about what led you to your current career aspirations. And most importantly, your story needs to include your value proposition that sums up what you actually bring to an organization or potentially could bring to an organization.
That's awesome. So what would a value proposition be? Like for someone that they're starting their career, what would that be?
So if you're starting off your career, it could be your training. It could be maybe your unique or ideals or perspective that you've taken. If you're in IT, perhaps you have a certification. So it's really about just thinking about the different things, especially for the early careers. It's a bigger challenge than someone who's established like myself. So for those who are, maybe you're just getting out of college, were you volunteering or were you part of student organizations? There's so many different areas that you can pull from to show how passionate you are about the career that you're trying to transition into.
Okay. Now, what would the value proposition look for someone like yourself that you're a veteran at what you do and you are someone that people go to?
Yes. So that's a great question. If you take a look at my LinkedIn profile header right now, especially as a career development professional in higher ed, I chose specific words that either show how I bring an organization revenue or how I retain the revenue. So for what I do with career programming, it's student engagement. You got to keep students engaged so they can stay in the program. It's creating brand affinity. And that's something you can't really put money on. And then also student retention. So those are very specific to my industry. So you really have to look at the industry that you're interested in or the organization. What are some of those buzzwords? What are those things that they're constantly keeping metrics on that you either directly or indirectly contribute to?
Master telling your story authentically, written and verbally. Remember that our professional story is continually developing and extend yourself grace as you go through this writing process. Let's start with the written as it applies to your LinkedIn profile and resume. Long-bedded advice is to log your career stats. What were your wins and challenges in each role? What would be the primary feature or takeaway you want the LinkedIn streets to know about you and your saucy skills? Identify percentages and the dollar value associated with your noteworthy achievements, if permissible. My colleagues Orlando Haynes and Karen Turner created the Career Accelerator Planner, which can be a resource that will help you track your projects, performance, and value in one place that you may find helpful. Rock Your LinkedIn Profile is a LinkedIn learning course that can help you determine what career details to share on your LinkedIn profile. You can access the class through LinkedIn Premium. You can also enroll in LinkedIn Learning courses for free through your public library account. When it comes to keeping your resume current, I encourage you to research resume writers and find one specializing in curating resumes that align with your career goals and the next role you want to land. For example, if you want a project management role, work with a resume writer focusing on project management and understands the industry. I compare finding the right fit resume writer to taste testing the ingredients of your signature sauce. It may take working with more than one resume writer to help you master telling your story on your resume over some time. Prepare well to work with a resume writer to have your resume be an accurate and authentic reflection of your career trajectory to date. Collect job descriptions for your previous, current, and desired roles. Cultivate a categorized list of the soft, hard, and technical skills that line up with these levels. beginner, intermediate, proficient, and expert. Updating your resume can prompt you to experience emotions from beaming pride or imposter syndrome to regret. In those moments, lean into gratefulness for the lessons that spark the feeling and transform those lessons into motivation to continue your journey to be your best self with confidence. Lastly, E is for exploring opportunities beyond your comfort zone and sauce. Our career journeys are not cookie cutter. Fortunately, we can change our career industry if you're willing to put in the effort to experience the shift at any given time and age. Yes, your network contributes to connecting to transformative career experiences. With your transferable skills, powerful, impactful ability to transport you to new opportunities, I want to preface that. I challenge you to explore your options and shake up your comfort zone. Commit to developing an action plan that can help you discover the optics and chart the path of what new opportunities look like for you. My book, Confidently You, is a 21-day action plan to your professional best. It lists focus areas and daily activities that can help you zone in on niches and industries where you can add your sauce and position yourself to thrive. Check out the Create to Connect season finale clip with David Tan, the founder and creative director of Tantrum Agency, who chats about accomplishing your goals.
So, I mean, we have this philosophy with the agency, and I think that, you know, we've been really trying to find our voice and really trying to define our approach to creative. And one of the things that we really landed on is, like, we really believe in roadmaps and not blueprints. And, you know, basically, if you've ever built a house or know an architect or whatever, it's like you can't really deviate too far from what's on that blueprint. Otherwise, you mess up the structural integrity of the house. And, you know, so blueprints are great when you're building structures, et cetera, because, you know, everything is in a place, you know exactly where it's going to be or where it's supposed to be, et cetera. But the creative process isn't generally like that. And so, you know, roadmaps, you know, it's hard to imagine now because everyone's got GPS on their phone, but, you know, roadmaps are really designed, no matter where you are, we can get you from point A to point B. You know, if you have to take a detour, we can go down this little side road over here. And so I love that analogy because I think that that's really what we do. You know, if we were trying to get from Atlanta to Cali or to LA, you know, there's going to be someone who's going to take that direct flight and get there in 4.5 hours. Then there's going to be someone like me who's like, let's road trip it. You know, let's go down to Florida for spring break. Let's go up to Taste of Chicago. Let's hit the Grand Canyon. Let's swing by Seattle. I heard that the scenery is beautiful up there. Then let's drive down, you know, so we can see the coast. So at the end of the day, we'll both get there, you know, which is the goal, but who's going to have better stories? It's like, we're going to have better stories because we created all these memories. We created all these experiences to get to that final destination.
Like a well-crafted sauce, our career skills take time to cultivate and develop. Some of our career choices and experiences can lead to stagnancy. Some work environments can be traumatizing and other professional experiences may be reoccurring lessons that repeat themselves differently. Sometimes a chef's effort to perfect their sauce can be a dud experience with many takeaways. Takeaways that not only teach humility, but they also teach where to shift your focus to improve technique and the chemistry of the chosen ingredients. We have to do the same for our careers. Focus on what matters and define and master consistent efforts to understand our industry of choice, the associated logistics for profitable operations, and what your impact of change and excellence will be in it. In time, we will have skills that qualify us as experts and a voice of input to be credible and valued. Learn to trim the fat. Being distractions, procrastination, lack of clarity of next steps, and avoiding professional development. Today, I challenge you to assess your sauce. Is it still a flavorful impact on your professional work that supports innovation and business longevity? Remember to extend yourself grace during this exercise. I invite you to join the Skills Recharge conversation by sharing your experiences in the comments. Let's learn together from each other.